Jesus heard that they had cast him out. Now this is truly amazing. This is truly amazing. Jesus heard or knew that they had cast this man out of the synagogue, out of the temple. This man who's really nothing to the world. You realize what this man is? This man is indeed Mr. Nobody from nowhere. Now that's a fact. Yet the Lord of glory has an interest in this man. Now you think about this. This is truly amazing to me. I could camp here for the rest of the night. There's no way that I can possibly make clear in human words what is here. When David stood out under the heavens, considering the mighty power of God and the wisdom of God and the majesty of God, he said, Lord, when I consider the heavens, the work of thy hands, the sun, the moon, the stars, the things that thou hast ordained, what in the world is man? And he was talking about himself, and yet he was a king. He was the king of Israel. He was the ranking leader on the face of the earth. And he was amazed and astounded that the God of heaven, the God of creation, the Almighty God, should have any interest in him at all. He said, I'm amazed. What is man that thou art mindful of him, that you even consider him, that you have any interest in him? Or the Son of Man, that thou dost consider him? One day he went into a room and sat down. The scripture said he just sat down before the Lord. Not so much from being exhausted as from being overwhelmed. He just sat down. He didn't kneel. He didn't fall prostrate. He didn't bow his head. He just sat down. He said, Lord, who am I? Who am I? And what is my people that you should show any interest in us? But here, the Lord of glory has an interest in a poor, penniless. I read a while ago, you notice when I emphasize begging, this is a beggar. This is truly a street person. This is truly a street person. And yet the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who ignored the Pharisees, who had very harsh words for the Sanhedrin, yet the King of Kings and Lord of Lords knows everything that's happening to this man. He heard. He knew about this man. They cast him out of the synagogue. You know why? Because he was one of the Lord's sheep. Are you one of his sheep? Charlie told me last night he gave his son a Bible. His son John a Bible. And he wrote in the front of the Bible something to this effect. I don't know whether I can quote it exactly, but he said to his son in that inscription in the Bible, I'm your father and you know I love you. But it's much more important that the Lord love you. For if he loves you, then you're cared for. If he loves you. That's what's important. This was one of his sheep. This was one of his sheep. So, if that's so, if he loves you. Now, I don't subscribe, and you know this, and I repeat it again. I do not subscribe to the emotional, groundless claim that our holy God, that the King of Glory, is in love with all flesh. I don't subscribe to that at all. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. I don't believe that the Lord of glory is in love with all flesh and he's literally frustrated in his purposes and in his will concerning them. I don't believe that. I don't believe he's going to let those children of his love slip away from him and be cast into hell. I don't believe that. I believe he loves his sheep. This man was one of his sheep. So if that's true, if I and you here tonight, all over this congregation, whoever you are, You say, I'm nobody. This man was nobody. He was more of a nobody than you are. Much more of a nobody. You say, I'm nothing. He was nothing. You're something. He was nothing. He was literally nothing. He was a beggar. He was a blind, dirty beggar who sat by the wayside begging. So I say, whoever you are and wherever you are and whatever the circumstances, if you're one of his sheep, you don't move a hand nor a hair that he's not aware of it. Is that right, Bill? Whatever lies ahead, he knows and he cares. He said, you cast your care on me. I care for you. And nobody cares for you like he does. I know that. Your mama don't love you like the Lord does. Your daddy never loved you like the Lord loves you. Your children will never love you like the Lord loves you. When Lazarus was sick and they sent word for Christ to come, they didn't say, Lord, the one that loves you is sick. They said, he whom thou lovest is sick. How in the world can we talk about our love for him in the light of his love for us? It's unmentionable, isn't it? He whom thou lovest is sick. And so look over here, right across the page in John 10, beginning with verse 11. He said, I'm the good shepherd. John 10, 11. I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He that's an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, they see the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf scattereth them and catcheth them and scattereth them. The hireling fleeth because he's an hireling. He doesn't love the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my sheep. I love my sheep. I'm known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and they shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life. No man taketh it from me. It's a gift of love. I lay it down for my sheep. He loves his sheep. All right, go back to the text, verse 35. Jesus heard they'd cast him out. He heard they'd cast him out. And I'm sure this is written in the language of men. Our Lord knew they'd cast him out. He was aware of everything they, every charge they brought against him and every word they used to trick him. Our Lord knew all about him. He loved him. Traced his steps. The steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord. What's the next line? And when he found him, when who found whom? When he, capital H-E, when he found him, and he always will. If you're his sheep, he'll find you. He'll find you. He said over here in Luke 15, let's look at this a minute, Luke 15, verse 4 and 5. In Luke 15, 4 and 5, it says this. This is the Lord Jesus speaking. Luke 15, 4. What man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost? How long does he look for him? Till he finds him. Till he finds him. And when he finds him, he lays him on his shoulder, rejoicing, and brings him home and says, look, this sheep was lost, but I found him. He found him. The Lord Jesus found this man. Now, I know. Wait a minute. Hold it. I know we find the truth. I've had people come here saying, I've looked for the gospel for a long time. I've gone here and there trying to find somebody preaching the gospel. And now I've found somebody. We find the truth in a sense. And there's a sense in which we find Christ. But in reality, back of it all, he finds us. We find him because he finds us. That's right. I'll show you that in John 1. Turn back to John 1. First chapter, verse 43. John 1, 43. Listen. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee, and he findeth Philip. And he said to Philip, you follow me. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. So Philip findeth Nathanael and said to him, "We have found him." What did Philip say? "We found the Christ." But Philip, he found you. He found you. You found him because he found you. You called on him because he called you. That's right. Jesus found Philip. And our Lord found this man. I'll tell you this. He finds us and he reveals himself to us. For he's not lost. We're the ones that are lost. You say, "I found the Lord." The Lord wasn't lost. You were. And if you found him, then you weren't lost. Isn't that right? You weren't lost if you found him. But you were lost and he found you. You didn't go to where he was. He came where you were. He left heaven and came to the earth. No man hath ascended up unto heaven but he that came down from heaven. He found us. He found us. You say, "Well, how does he find his sheep? How does the Lord find his sheep? How are his elect found? How are they revealed to be his sheep? How are they revealed to be his elect?" Well, that's very simple. Turn to 1 Thessalonians 1. By his gospel. That's how he finds his sheep. I'm telling you the truth. By his gospel. By his gospel. He finds his sheep. That's how his sheep find him. Through the gospel. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. Listen to Paul. Writing to the church at Thessalonica, he said in verse 4, "Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God." God chose you. God elected you. God loved you. God singled you out. God set his love on you. I know that. How do you know that, Paul? "For our gospel came to you." God sent the gospel to you. "My gospel came to you, not in word only, but it came to you in power. It came to you in the Holy Ghost. It came to you in much assurance." That's how our gospel came to you. That's how he finds his sheep. By his gospel. You want to know how you can tell one of God's sheep? Well, he hears the gospel of Christ, in whom you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. He hears it. He hears it not with just these ears. He hears it with his heart. He hears it in power. And how do you tell one of God's elect? He believes it. He receives it. He bows to it. He submits to it. He says, "That's God's word. I'll take it. I'll take it." His sheep hear his word. Look at 2 Thessalonians 2.13. 2 Thessalonians 2.13. Listen to this. Paul says in verse 13, "We're bound. We're just bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord." Beloved of the Lord. Accepted in the beloved of the Lord too. "Because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit, belief of the truth, whereunto he found you and called you by our gospel." That's how. He calls you by our gospel to the obtaining, to the laying hold of, to the realization and understanding of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he finds his elect, for the gospel. You heard the gospel? Have you heard it in power? I'm not talking about any gospel. Paul said there's not but one. There's not but one. "If any man preach any other gospel, let him be accursed." There's not but one gospel. It's the gospel of grace. It's the gospel of his glory. It's the gospel of God. It's the gospel concerning his Son. It's the gospel of the incarnation. It's the gospel of the atonement. It's the gospel of the great high priest. It's the gospel of the risen, victorious, conquering Lord. It's the gospel. It can't be defeated. God said, "My word won't return to me void. As the rain comes down from heaven and waters the earth and makes the plants to grow, my word goeth forth out of my mouth. It won't return unto me void. It'll accomplish that whereunto I send it. That which pleaseth me." Don't tell me, Almighty God, Almighty Eternal God, who created the world out of nothing and spake and there was light. Don't tell me he's ever defeated, confounded, or frustrated in anything he plans, wills, or sets out to do. I won't have it. I don't believe it. You take that God and play house with him or church or something. But this God does what he pleases, when he pleases, with whom he pleases. That's exactly right. You find his sheep. I know what I'm doing. I'm looking for the sheep. I'll preach the gospel to anybody who will tune his ear my way. Anybody. Like what that fellow said, friends, Romans, and countrymen, lend me your ears. Well, lend me ears, and I'll tell you the gospel. And I'll tell you whether or not you're one of God's elect. If that gospel penetrates 18 inches below your ear and hits your heart and turns you to worship Christ and bow to him and love him and receive him, you're one of God's elect. But if that gospel stops at that ear and goes up here to this brain and makes an intellectual Pharisee out of you, you're not one of God's elect. You're just a religious hypocrite. To the world, he said, you won't come to me. You will not. But of his sheep, he said, all that the Father giveth me will come to me. You won't, they will. You know what he said? You will not come to me. All that my Father giveth me will come to me. They will. To the world, the preaching of the gospel is foolishness. To those who are called, it's wisdom, the very wisdom of God. To the world, he said, no man can come to me. No man can come to me except my Father which sent me draw him. But of his sheep, he said, they'll be willing in the day of my power. When the rod of my strength goes out of Zion, they'll be willing. The world says we'll not have this man reign over us. Oh, he can be our valet. He can be our servant. He can be our benefactor. But he will not be our Lord. But his sheep fall at his feet and say, my Lord and my God. That's the difference. That's the difference. We preach the gospel to every creature, but we know whom we seek. We seek whom he seeks. He said, I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. Christ and his cross is all our theme. The mysteries that we speak are scandal in the Jewish esteem and folly to the Greek. But men enlightened from above with joy receive his word. They see what wisdom, power, and might and love is in their risen Lord. All right, now watch this. Verse 35 again. Jesus heard they'd cast him out. He's interested in this particular man. So he found him. He always does. And he said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? Do you believe on the Son of God? He found this man. Isolated him. Isolated him, Tom. I believe he got him off to the side. He certainly didn't have this question for the crowd. He found him and he said to him, Ronnie, he said to him, do you believe on the Son of God? Now that's an interesting question, isn't it? And you know what makes it so interesting to me? It makes it so interesting to me in the light of what had transpired before this. Now wait a minute, hold your seat now. Hang on. Hang on, this is the Big Dipper right here. This man had been obedient to Christ. Our Lord told him, he came up on him, they had a discussion about him, and he spit on the ground and made spittle, and he anointed his eyes. This man, born blind, covered his eyes with that mud and said to him, he said, you go wash in the pool of Siloam. And you know what the man did? He did what the Lord told him to do. He obeyed the Lord. He obeyed the Lord. He did what Christ told him to do. And then secondly, this is an interesting question, not only in the light of the fact that he had been obedient to the Lord, but secondly, this man had had an unusual experience. I heard last week about a man who had an unusual experience. He heard a voice.
Well, this gentleman here, he heard more than a voice.
He said, I was blind. I've heard 100 sermons on this. Whereas I was blind, yet I see.
It was after that the Lord asked him, do you believe?
He said, I've had an experience. He had one too, my brother. You think about it. I mean coal mine blind. And he could see 20/20. But my Lord didn't do anything halfway. Thirdly, he claimed to be a disciple of Christ. He told these Pharisees, he said, why do you want me to tell you this over and over again? Would you also be his disciple? They said, you're his disciple. He said, that I am. He said,
I'm a Christian.
A Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. You know what a disciple is, follower of Christ? So the man professed to be a Christian. Thirdly, he had suffered for what he believed. You said, preacher, I'm not only obeyed the Lord, I'm not only had an experience, I not only claimed to be a Christian, but I paid the price. He did too. It threw him out of the synagogue. You know what this meant? You know what this meant? This meant this man was no longer in the kingdom of God. You see, the synagogue was synonymous with the kingdom of God, even more than Catholicism. And this man couldn't come to the Passover. This man couldn't come to the sacrifice. This man had no priest. This man was isolated from God. They cast him out. Nobody had anything, and everybody else wasn't having anything to do with him. Isn't that right? Man, he paid the price. And not only that, but he witnessed to other people. I read over and over again in John 10. They said, how were your eyes open? He said, a man named Jesus. A man named Jesus. I hear everybody preaching Jesus. They preach Jesus in Arminianism, Calvinism, Pelagianism, Semi-Pelagianism, Catholicism, Protestantism, Judaism, and everything else preaches Jesus. And that's what he said. Jesus did it, praise God.
He didn't even know who he was. They said, where is he? He said, I don't know.
Who is he?
I don't know.
But Jesus did it, bless God. That's what he said, verse 11. Jesus did it. Jesus made clay and anointed my eyes. Jesus did it, praise God. And he said, if he wasn't of God, he could do nothing. Today, we pronounce people saved who fit these requirements. Today, if a man obeys the Lord said, go to Siloam. Preachers say, come to church. They come. Pay your tithe. They pay the tithe. Come to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Come to Wednesday night prayer meeting. Witness for Jesus. They witness. You're saved. That's what they tell me. Come down the front. Shake my hand. Pray the prayer. Take my book. Read your daily Bible reading. Don't go to the show now. You're safe. This man was obedient. He did what he's told to do. He not only did what he's told to do, he had an unusual experience. He not only had an unusual experience, he said, I'm a Christian. He not only said, I'm a Christian, he was kicked out of organized religion. And then he went around telling everybody, Jesus, heal my eyes.
And that's when the Lord said, do you believe on the Son of God? Now you think about that a little bit. And here's his reply. Verse 36. And he answered and said to him, who is he? Who is this Son of God? I know the name Jesus. Because he called that name in verse 10. He said, Jesus, a man named Jesus. But who is this Son of God?
Now we need to camp here. I'll tell you, whether a man is saved or not saved is not so much a matter of faith as the object of his faith. I'm telling the truth.
You say, I believe. What do you believe? Whom do you believe? There's the question.
That's what he's asking this man. This man believes something. This man had an experience. This man witnessed. This man running up and down the country, didn't know anything, and was talking about Jesus. And that's when our Lord said, do you believe on the Son of God? And I tell you, it's not so much believing as it's
whom do you believe? I know whom I have believed.
Saul of Tarsus asked this question, who art thou? Christ said, do you believe on the Son of God? He said, who is he? Saul of Tarsus said, who art thou? The Ethiopian eunuch sitting in his chariot, as Philip sat beside him, read the scriptures, he said, of whom does the prophet speak? Who's this man of
sorrows?
Who's this suffering Savior? Who's this silent lamb? Our Lord asked the Pharisees, he said,
what do you think of the Christ? Who is he? Whose son is he?
You see, there's only one Christ who's appointed to save. There's only one Christ who has access to the Father. There's only one Christ who's the one mediator. Is that what Scripture says? There's only one great high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Who is he? Do you believe on the Son of God? Who is he?
Now, this wasn't asked just out of curiosity. He said, who is he that I might believe? Do you want to know that you might believe?
Not that you might argue with me. Not that you might compare it with other sermons or catechisms or confessions of faith. But this man says, I want to know who this Son of God is that I might believe on him. That's what I want to know. I want to know who he is that I might believe on him. But I tell you this. I know this. He's the sovereign Christ. Now, he's not the little frustrated Jesus that we've heard so much about, but he said the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Son quickeneth whom he will. Not only that, he's the suffering Christ. He shall see the travail of his soul and be satisfied. He's the suffering Christ. Not only that, he's the obedient Christ. He's the Lord our righteousness. Not only that, he is the crucified Christ by whom we have now received the atonement. The atonement. You know what? Do we know what an atonement is? He is the risen Christ, our justifier. He is the triumphant Christ. Sit thou at my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool. He is the prophet, priest, and king. He is the coming line of the tribe of Judah. That's who he is. And our Lord looked at him, listen, and Jesus said,
you have seen him. You have heard him, and he now talks to you. And that can be said right here tonight. We have seen him.
No, not with these eyes. Not with these eyes. We've seen him in his word. We've seen him in his word. He's been declared here every Sunday, every service, every Wednesday night when all these men preach, they're lifting up Christ. And they're lifting up Christ. We're not lifting up men. We're lifting up Christ. You've seen him. You've seen him in his word. You've seen him in his gospel. You've heard him in his word. Hebrews 1 said, God, who at sundry times and different manners spake to our fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken to us by his Son. This is my beloved Son. Hear him! Who is the express image of God, the exact likeness of God, by whom the world held together. And that's what our Lord asked this man.
Do you believe on him, the Son of God?
It's not how obedient you've been. It's not how much experience you've had. It's not a claim to discipleship. It's not what you've suffered for religion. It's not facts, the fact that you have witnessed. But the question is, do you in your heart genuinely, sincerely believe
this man, Jesus Christ, is the Son of God. Do you? The Son of God.
You see, in closing, this is a most necessary question. It's a most necessary question. What you believe about the Son of God determines your relationship with the God of heaven. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's not only necessary, but it's a very plain question. It has nothing to do with what we call the doctrines of grace. It's not do you believe in election, it's do you believe on the Son of God. He's the electing Christ, but do you believe on Him? Him. It's not do you believe, you know, that baptism by immersion, that's fine, but it's do you believe on the Son of God? It's a plain question. And thirdly, it's a personal question. We can't look to anyone else. You gotta, do you believe it? And I tell you, it can be answered because Paul said, know ye not your own selves, how that Christ dwelleth in you, except you be a reprobate. And also, it demands an immediate answer. And this man gave it. Listen, verse 38. And he said, oh, I tell you, would to God we were this responsive. Would to God we were this alert. Would to God that we were this concerned. He said, you believe on the Son of God? He said, who is He that I might believe? He said, you've seen Him and you've heard Him and it's He that talks to you. And he said, Lord, I believe. And he fell down and worshipped Him. That's faith. That's the faith of a child. And Jesus said, for the benefit of all around, for judgment, I am come into this world. In other words, He Himself is the dividing point. He's the dividing point. He said, I've come to divide. I've come to rend asunder. I've come to separate. I'm the problem. There was a division because of Him. I've come to this world for judgment. The split in religion and the division in religion is as it ought to be. It's over Christ. It's over Christ. Who He is, what He did, why He did it, where He is now. That's the only division I'm interested in. He said, I've come for judgment. Watch it. That they which see not might see. What's that talking about? Those that are born in sin might be saved. Those that are blinded by sin might see. Those that are in darkness might have the light. Those that are sick may be made well. Those that are dead may be raised. Those that are in trouble may be relieved. See, they're blind. And I've come that they might see. And they which see. You say, well, all men are blind. Ask them. They say, we see. We see. That's what they said to this fella here. They said, why, you teaching us? Who are you to teach us? We are not, we smart. We know everything. We got the answer. You can't tell us anything. See, they thought they could see. They thought they had righteousness. They thought they knew God. They didn't need anything. We're rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Christ said, you don't know, you're naked, miserable, wretched, poor, and blind. And I've come that those that are naked, wretched, miserable, poor, and blind might be made whole. And those that are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing might be made blind. What's this? Judicial blindness. Reprobation. Well, then, surely don't believe in reprobation. Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. Yes, sir. He that being often reproved and hardeneth his heart shall be destroyed, God says. The Jews are judicially blinded. They're under reprobation. There's a veil over their eyes when Moses, and their ears when Moses is read. They can't see it. Who put the veil there? God did. You despise the Son of God, He'll put a veil on your eyes so that you'll believe a lie and be damned for believing a lie and not even know you're believing a lie. You read that in Thessalonians. You say, that's hard. I know, but it's so. There's a lot of things that are hard. The judgment's hard, but it's so. It's hard to come to judgment without a mediator, but that's where people got to stand. That's awful hard. We're not sent to entertain people. We're sent to tell them the truth. And he said, I've come for judgment. And some of the Pharisees, which were there with him, these are the fellows that got, you know, a lot of folks, they just like them, you know. They heard these words and they said, are we blind? You think we're blind? We're theologians, we're teachers, we're rulers, we're high up in religion. We wear our broad phylacteries, we keep the law. You talking about us? Are we blind?
Jesus said, if you were blind, you'd have no sin. If you really were blind, this man was blind, he wanted help. Who goes to the doctor? Sick people. Who comes to the Lord? Sinners. Who needs sight? Blind people. So he said, if you were sick, and if you were blind, and if you were in darkness, I'd make you whole. But, now you say, we see. I'm all right. Don't bother me, preacher. I'm all right. Don't worry about me. I'll be in heaven. I'm all right. Well, all right. But I ask you, do you believe on the Son of God? That's what it's all about. Do you believe on the Son of God? I'm talking about the. That's a definite article. The. Not is he a Son of God. Oh, the Son of God. You believe him? Well, if you do, like it said of Abraham, accounted to you for righteousness. But I tell you this, there's no hedging about it. Lord, I believe. And he fell down worshiping him. All right. Mike, let's have a closing hymn, and then we'll have prayer and go back to the back.